Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oi! The boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started with Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to MLS Box to Box on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Let's get started here. It's Box to Box. It's our weekly Major League Soccer podcast, although it wasn't on last week because we trusted Jimmy and Craig with the keys. And it didn't come to fruition. Surprise,
surprise. That's bullshit. Bullshit before you get going there. Tell them, Forrest, it wasn't us.
Dolly was on Waddy, and we couldn't get his sound on.
Yeah, that's not surprising. That's pretty standard for Doles.
Yeah.
Well, that voice you hear, is a guy that started a 17-year playing career many years ago now. He joined the coaching ranks in around 2004. Most recently, technical director at Minnesota United. Most importantly, though, a former teammate with Canada of Jimmy and Craig. It's Mark Watson. Mark, welcome to the show. These guys have been saying we must get you on for a very long time, and now you're here, so welcome.
No, thanks for having me, guys. I've been looking for a chance to be on, so happy to be here.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sure you've been waiting for it.
Chomping at the bit to get on this show.
Yeah, I got a 2 o'clock tea time, so I'm not saying we need to speed it up.
But speed it up. Okay. Well, okay, first question then, before we get to some MLS talk, really is, out of Jimmy and Craig, who was the better teammate?
How about neither? I mean, honestly, the bar was set pretty low, so no. That's a tough one. I mean, we work close. We're all kind of part of that defensive unit. I had Stacks screaming at me all the time. Like, you know, playing in Panama. It's the 89th minute. It's 400 degrees. And he's telling you to squeeze up. So we had a few words over the years. And, you know, Jimmy liked to go forward, didn't like to defend. So, you know, probably about even.
Yeah.
Great teammates, good guys. You know, they always put the work in. We had a really good camaraderie in the group, and they were a big part of that. So great teammates, and great to see them.
I'll tell you a story, right? I think I was at Forest at the time, and we drew Oxford in the cup. Mm-hmm. So playing against Waddy, and everybody that knows Waddy, the type of player that he is, he's a hard nose, physical, loved the contact, and would kick the shit out of people. So I get the ball, and I drive down the line, put a ball into the box. Ball gets cleared. I get it again. So now I start going on this little mazy run. Okay, so I beat the winger. I've come inside. Waddy steps. I drop the shoulder. I knock it past him. But as I dropped the shoulder, moved and went around him, he fell. Right? We get in. I have a shot and goal. And as I start coming back, he grabs me and looks at me. He says, if you fucking do that again, I will fucking kill you. And I jogged back to my position. I just stood there and I looked at him. I'm like, this guy's serious. He will kill me if I go near him again.
I don't think that's a true story. So there's no one else to confirm or deny. So I disagree. I don't think that happened. I was not like that.
Unverified. It's unverified, yeah. Right, Mark? And you're not verifying it?
No one can confirm that. So
remember, Waddy, when you actually gave me the finger, like you, I was having a go at you, and I think you gave away an easy corner, and I was like, "What? You're just screaming at you, and you didn't know what to say. You just fucking gave me the middle finger." I was like,
"Yeah."
Well, you just gave me the finger.
There was a big crowd. I'm sure it was like Panama or Costa Rica or something, and you were doing your stuff, like squeeze, drop, like, and you're sitting there immaculate, like you're your shirt, everything. There's not a bit of dirt on it, not even a bit of sweat. You're sitting there with your little towel and water bottle, squeeze, drop, and we're like chasing, running, ball's coming in the box, heading, you know. So last ditch tackle, cleared it out for a corner, and Stack's like, "What the fuck?" Like, and it was so loud, and I didn't even have the energy to use my voice. So yeah, I gave him the finger. So that's a true story. I can confirm that. I remember your face. You're just like, really? Like, you just flipped me off. It's not even a really thing to do on the pitch, but yeah, I can confirm that one.
I was playing that match as well, and I remember it, and I was pissing myself. I think it was more Forrest face just looking at you going, he's just gave me the fucking finger.
Did that just happen? That's not even a thing. You don't do that. But yeah.
We had a Colin Miller on the show yesterday, and a few times over the last couple of years, Craig and Jimmy mentioned about that, how tight that group of players was in your Canadian era. And you know, it was tougher to qualify for World Cups back in those days, we know that, but you're actually a pretty decent team as well. But it was that real brotherhood, it seemed, that really pushed you guys forward.
No, you're right. Yeah, it was a good group of guys. Most were playing in England, so there was kind of a connection with that too. But yeah, it was, you know, guys that were playing at a really high level, guys that kind of were in Europe to, you know, kind of be the pioneers of that. Like, you know, Stacks and Frank were probably the first two. I know Bruce Tromley was over there, and then Jim, and there's a couple others of us to follow. So it was that group that was, you know, kind of came from the same cloth and, you know, played the same way. And I think the common denominator, I think we got more of the group because we had such a good group of guys, you know. And there was, you know, we weren't the most talented teams compared to probably the US and Mexico. That's arguably still the same, although I think the gap's a little closer, you know, but we always did well home or away because of that group and that camaraderie. And, you know, we certainly enjoyed ourselves, and we had, you know, we traveled a lot and played a lot of great games, but there was always that, you know, especially that mentality where if we stick together and defend and do the hard shift, we could get something out of the game. You know, we can get a draw on the road. We can potentially win on the road. So yeah, it was a great group of guys, and we did really well respective of the quality we had. And I think it was because of that character, and we all kind of felt we were part of a good group.
Now, you began in MLS, I think, in the inaugural year, right, with Columbus back in 96. When you look back on football in North America, and, you know, MLS or even outside MLS at that time, what's been the biggest change since when you look at the league, the game is nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, it's been drastic changes in every facet of the game. It really has. And if you look at just the last, probably say 5 years, there's been another monumental shift. You know, everything is first class. It really is. You know, back in those days, it was 1996. There was a league-wide draft. So I think there was 12 or 15 rounds. Frank got drafted to, you know, Tampa Bay Mutiny. I got drafted to Columbus. So you signed with the league, and then you had no idea where you were going. And, you know, Frank was 33 years old. I was, you know, 24 or something. And they were so not ready looking back to start a league. And, you know, the training facilities were terrible. You're changing somewhere and driving and football lines and turf and football stadiums, and you're playing at that time we were playing Friday, Sunday pretty much every time we traveled. So they tried to condense the travel, and that's just not conducive to quality play. So and when you look at now, the training facilities are incredible, stadiums, first class travel, like everything that a player needs is at their disposal. Now you factor in the academies, you know, most academies have been around 5, 10, 15 years, and we're starting to see the benefits of that. I mean, look at Toronto's academy. There's tons of players coming out. Look at Dallas. There's so many clubs that have put huge amounts of money into all facets of player development, and we're starting to see the rewards of that. But honestly, the league, I mean, every club's a little bit different, but the bar has been set so high that players have everything they need to play at the highest level. And, you know, that's flights, it's hotels, it's food, it's transportation. Everything's chartered now. It's the pitches are incredible. The, you know, training facilities, just top to bottom. And it certainly wasn't like that in 1996. So the league has made a quantum leap in terms of pretty much everything across the board.
Waddy, one of the big things too, going back, I remember in the late 90s, was the lack of a players' union. And you had actually got an injury with Columbus late in the season, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they, under the rules, or lack of, they literally were able to cut you, mm-hmm. not pay you, and you were basically disposed of by Columbus.
No,
that
true
doesn't
story.
Happen so, anymore.
No, it doesn't. I tore my ACL. And I had a meeting, you know, the doctors were kind of doing their things. And then I got called to a meeting at the corporate offices and the guy sat me down. He goes, there's two things. Your surgery's scheduled for tomorrow and we're going to be releasing you. And you're just like, wow. I mean, that's, you know, it's unheard of nowadays, but there was no protection. There was no players union. I mean, and actually that kind of spearheaded, you know, the beginning of the players union. So John Kerr Sr., who was part of the NFL Players Association, stepped in. I knew John Jr. and knew John Sr. a little bit. He just laughed. He's like, what a joke, you know, like, and they'd already found a replacement for me. So it was an initial meeting. I don't really think they knew what they were doing, but you know, I was one of four foreign players and they needed the foreign spot and they, you know, but there was no mechanism to keep paying an injured player if you released them. So yeah, I tore my ACL and I'm getting the surgery and I'm released. And I just thought, what the hell is going on? So, I mean, thankfully it's gone a long way from that. The union is very strong, you know, and it's something, you know, as a technical director, you have to abide by, like line by line, letter by letter. It's very, you know, and the one thing they do is when they negotiate, they, to kind of get over the line, you know, there's always concessions made in different areas. So the concessions normally made by the league go to the player care side of it. So it's flights, it's charter flights, it's food, it's per diem, it's, you know, so that's something that's been even more significantly enhanced because of the way these negotiations go. So literally mm-hmm. the players have everything, you know, there's X amount of days off. You can't do this, you can't do that. So there's probably 50 rules that you have to abide by just in terms of, you know, player care. So it's a long way away from my meeting with the Columbus crew and my release of my scheduled surgery. So but I'm happy about that. We're in a much better place.
Waddy, you talk about the league, you know, from where it was, where it is today, how much it's grown, the facilities, the infrastructure. Is there anything that kind of bothers you where you think it's a little bit negative and I'd like to change this? Because there is a few things where maybe there is too many teams at the moment. Maybe the player pool is getting a little bit saturated. Maybe the players have a little bit too much luxury now that they've got everything given to them. Is there anything that you think you would tweak personally?
Yeah, so I mean, the first one is, and you just touched on it. It's funny, and it goes back to what we were just talking about. The players are still not happy. You know, there's still things. You know, the salmon wasn't cooked correctly, kind of thing. You know, I like my steak, you know, medium well, and this is ridiculous. Like, you know, I'm gonna talk to my union rep. So it's a little tongue in cheek, but you know, like we want to make sure, and we're, you know, as at Minnesota, it's not a big spending club, so we wanted to provide all the necessities and. The players were still, you know, not happy about it. Well, some other clubs have this and that. So that's something you'll always kind of have to deal with. But we mm-hmm. know, like, to be a professional, and we, you know, we know what went on 30 and 40 years ago. So we've got a different perspective, but they literally have everything. And we joke about it. Like, you know, you could give them all Ferraris and they wouldn't like the rims on the Ferraris. But that's just the player's mentality. And we were there one day. In terms of what I would change. Yeah, there's one thing that I thought was quite restrictive. So, you know, USL and kind of second teams have been around for a while, but the league has gone to MLS Next Pro, I think across the board starting this year. So every team has to have an MLS Next Pro team, which is great. You know, we're still assessing kind of what that level is. And every team kind of does it differently in terms of, take Toronto, for instance, it's like they're playing 15, 16, 17 year old kids. So it's like an academy plus some of the other teams, some older guys. So we're still assessing the level, but because the league is so rule heavy, we found it very restrictive to add players to the first team. They had four-day windows, which was good. And I do understand the fact that there's a budget and there's, you know, you have to have some level of consistency, but it was very restrictive in terms of the actual roster space and actually financing a deal to get a player from the second team to the first team. you know, I know around the world, you just sign a contract and off you go. We were so rule heavy with numbers and categories and homegrown players and all these different things that we found it really difficult to, if a player done well, to get him into the first team. And there were a couple little avenues, but they were somewhat restrictive. So I think you look at the focus on player development. I think they need to continue to improve that pathway. You know, and we have a salary cap. So there, you know, you have to put rules in place because teams are going to find loopholes. So I totally get that. But I think they need to make that pathway a little bit smoother. And if there's a bunch of kids that are doing really well and deserve to get into the first team, there should be that pathway. And it shouldn't be blocked by, you know, what is a pretty rule-heavy league.
How difficult is it balancing all that, Wadi? Because I don't know a league in the world that has as many rules as MLS.
It's really difficult. You know, I've got the roster budget guidelines right here, and it's over 100 pages. So it's,
Jimmy, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
It's 100 pages, Jimmy. You wouldn't get through that.
Well, you have to know how to read to start with. Like literally page one. No.
You guys are such dicks. I don't know why I hand out with you.
It's a lot, and you have to be on top of it. You know, you're constantly speaking to the league about, you know, the rules, can we do this? And they kind of say no. And it's like, well, can we do this? And that's actually how rules get changed. You know, you make a compelling argument. You say, hey, listen, we've got this kid who it's a cup game or it's a friendly game, and we can't get him into, you know, play 45 minutes against Hertha Berlin. And you're like, that's ridiculous. Like, just look at it from a big picture. That shouldn't happen. Let's find a way to do this. And, you know, they're pretty receptive to that. And you got to kind of chase it up the flagpole a little bit. But you're constantly doing that. You've got the rules, and then you're trying to do real situations, and they can't happen because it's rule heavy. And you understand, like, once you start making rules, people are going to, you know, break the rules or find the loopholes or the gray area, and then they have to, you know, redefine it and add more rules that, you know, make it more specific. So I understand how it got to that point, you know, and it's something the league's talking about is less rules. Let's open this up. Let's not have so many categories and different things. I know they're actively discussing kind of, you know, that bigger concept of let's get less rule heavy. Let's, you know, have some big numbers and let's have a little bit more freedom to kind of execute whatever plan you have as a club. So, but it's difficult, you know, and you're spending a lot of time with the league going, hey, this doesn't make sense. We want to do this. Can we try this? And it's yes, no, it's, you know, speaking to the higher ups to see if you can basically change the rules. And that happens on a regular basis.
What do you think about the US Open Cup and the MLS really undermining it?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, once they went to the Leagues Cup this year, you know, I think it was pretty clear what the focus was. And I get both sides. You know, I think you should always have teams in the Open Cup or the, you know, Canada Cup or the FA Cup. Like, it's you don't want to take that away because it's such a special tournament. Mm-hmm. And you get the little clubs against the big clubs. It's, you know, and there's always going to be some big wins for the little guys. Like, you don't want to take that away because it is magical. But you have to look at, you know, they've now added this new tournament 4 weeks plus or minus right in the middle of the season. And now it's too much. So you have to pull back a little bit on just the amount of games and the travel and, you know, what you're asking to get out of these players. So I see both sides of it. I don't know what the answer is. You know, you don't want to take away the cup. The cup is magical, and that's part of every, you know, every league in the world. There's a cup, you know, and I know teams do it differently. Like the big clubs in the Premier League, they play a younger group for a while, and then you get to the quarterfinals, and then you start putting more focus on it. So that's been going on for a long time, but there's just so many games and there's so much travel and there's so many injuries that once you get far enough into the year where you're trying to push on all these different fronts, there's some major repercussions. We had it last year. We had an incredible amount of injuries, and, you know, we're just looking at just too much for the players. It's, you know, there's so much travel as well. That's part of it. You get to the point where you never train. You have a group that didn't play a lot, you know, 6, 8, 10 guys, and the rest of the group are just doing regen and, you know, -1, -2 days getting ready for the next match. So, you know, there's been discussions about opening up the squad size. So we have all these extra games, you know, can we have bigger squads and a bigger budget to, you know, the senior rosters at 20 plus all the other different ones, but can you take it to 25? Can you, you know, have a stronger, deeper squad to handle all these extra games and, you know, try to approach every competition, you know, as best you can without having to go to a second team.
That would help you as well if you had that agreement with MLS Next where those contracts weren't so strict, where you increase your roster right away. So these cup competition allows you to get them into your first team, play those early stages maybe, And then as you start going into the competition, you can play the older experienced players, because at the end of the line, there's a great opportunity for you to get into CONCACAF Champions League. There's more money to be made for players, for the club, and get you into that big stage that you want to play as a player.
Yeah, no, and you touched on it. Like the rule they put in place is probably the one they need to let go to let more flow back and forth between the different teams. So, yeah, I mean, it was interesting because the league made a pretty firm stance initially and then had to push back. So, I mean, that's kind of been the pathway of this league from day one. Like there's better ways to do it, and you change and you keep progressing. So, you know, I know there's been a lot of people having this exact same discussion and what do we do? And I don't think anyone wanted to take away the first team aspect to the Open Cup, but it was inevitable. When you're adding a full World Cup style tournament in the middle of your season, something has to give, and this was it. So,
yeah.
But it shouldn't happen. There should be another way. And like you said, let's open it up. Let's have bigger squads. Let's let more freedom of movement up and down to make sure you're able to handle these tournaments and these workloads.
I'll say that I think they dropped the schedule today, actually. And I was surprised in that I was a little bit intrigued as to who was whom playing whom. I didn't think that'd be the case last year, so maybe it will gather momentum at some point. Listen, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the Super Draft and your thoughts on its future. Has it got a future in North American football? So much more after this.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to MLS Box to Box. Mark Watson is our guest today. Now, Mark, I want to talk to you briefly about the MLS Super Draft and, as a technical director, your thoughts on that and its role in the pathway for young players. Has it got a future?
You know, another really interesting question with two really distinct sides. You know, we've talked about this for, 10 plus years. You know, the Super Draft will eventually, it may go away. That was always a discussion a long time ago, because there's such a premise on clubs developing their own players, spending so much money on the academies to, you want your local kids to be developed and get into your first team. You know, going back, it was all the only way to get young domestic players, so we're at this point now where everyone saw the significance of the academies and that push to develop your own players. And, you want the pathway clear. Plus you want space in the first team. So there are clubs that basically would sell all their draft picks because we've spent so much money on our youth setup and we want the pathway. And if I've gone to ownership and said, hey, I want 5, 8, 10 million a year, you don't want a draft pick coming in and being a better player than some of the youth kids. So there were some of those dynamics. But the trend was always going to be that the Super Draft is getting more and more diluted every year. And I think it has. I think go back, like I said, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that's where your young players came from. And it was the most important way to build the young players and, have a younger core. The academies just didn't exist. But now it's not the same. Although every single year there are players that come out that are of value. And, Duncan McGuire's the last one, so a lot of teams still look at it with value. Like let's do a good job. Let's probably allocate more resources than some of the other teams because there is still quality. It's always been hard to scout the college player. You can there's phone calls, there's, you know, actually going to watch games, there's focusing on the tournament games. And obviously there was the combine, which used to be in January. Now it's in early December. So there's still ways to do it. And I would say there's still a third of the teams that are really focused on the draft, and they put, you know, the amount of resources that they think they need to do a really good job with it. And there's still players coming out. So it's, you know, it's kind of a club specific thing. We in Minnesota in the past didn't have an academy that was producing players. So we were ones that probably put a little bit more stake into it. We'd have scouts. We'd put a lot of time in phone calls, you know, speaking to coaches, speaking to people in the business. We would take it a lot more seriously than other teams. Philadelphia sold all their picks for $300,000, and, you know, I don't even know if they sat at the table. So it's very club specific. I think the trend will continue to dilute, but there's still players. It's such, you know, U.S. and Canada, there's such big countries. There's colleges. There's foreign kids coming from different places. You can't have eyes on all of it. And that is the main trend, is the better players are foreign players now. They're not your domestic players. They're not Canadians and Americans. They're, you know, it's a 24-year-old German now you're looking at. So is that he's a good player, but he's a foreigner and he's a little bit older. Like, to kind of summarize, that was a complete mess, but it's all over the shop. It really is. It's, you know, but there's definitely a dilution in terms of the value the teams look at it, but it's very club by club, you know, and most clubs, I'll put Toronto in there, I'll put Philly in there, Dallas, the ones with the big academies where they want to have that pathway, they want to develop their own kids. It's just not as important, you know. And the smaller clubs that don't have a good, strong local market, you know, they're putting a little bit more time and energy into it.
Well, you mentioned Duncan McGuire, and he almost left Orlando for Blackburn this past mm-hmm. offseason, came really close, and now he's yep. still in MLS, scored a couple of great goals this past weekend. You left MLS, you know, mid-career, went to Europe for a while, and then you came back. Do you encourage players still to try that out? I mean, it's difficult being a technical director, and I know that, but I mean, do you still encourage young to see what it's like beyond MLS, or are we getting to a point now where MLS is the career choice?
No, so there's been a major paradigm shift in terms of MLS being a league of choice. You know, and we'll never be the Premier League. We're not going to be the Bundesliga, La Liga. We can't compete with those, you know, those top five or six leagues in Europe. It's a funny balance. And the question is really interesting, because, you know, you're not necessarily pushing players, although you totally understand, like, the player, like, I want to go play in the Premier League. You're not going to go to them, well, you're an idiot. Like, no, that's a totally, you know, and players are kind of sheepish to say that. I want to play in Europe. I want to play in the Premier League. You absolutely should want that. And, you know, and we would want that for you. We don't push players to think that way. We you know, we want them to focus on being in MLS and doing the, you know, the best they can every day and progressing as a player, both on and off the field. But we look at it as, you know, it's the best for the player, but we also need, you know, clubs look at potentially selling one or two players a year to enhance the roster. You need GAM and all the different, you know, MLS type money to continue to build your roster. So we're not pushing players there, but we certainly are not closing doors. You know, you will have agents that will call about your best players, and, you know, it's a market, and you have to generate money so you can get the next player. And if a player's doing well, I'm not saying we're promoting or pushing the players, but, you know, we're now actively in that global market to sell players. And we know it's beneficial for us. We're not a team that, you know, we have to sell players to survive, but you need players. So, you know, you've got enough money to make the roster building decisions that you have to have. So it's a funny balance. And that didn't really used to be the case. You're just developing the young players, drafting them. They're into your first team, and, you know, they're going to help you win games. Now you're actively looking at, you know, the medium to long-term planning in terms of, hey, this player is doing really well. If we get $5 million, we get to keep X amount for our budget. And, you know, now we start again. So that's been a big shift in the last probably 2 to 3 years. You know, we're just such a more significant player in the global market.
Waddy, you're finding now a lot more scouts are coming into MLS. They're understanding that these players can make an impact in leagues around the world, whether it's Serie A, which is the Premier League, La Liga. That money that comes into the club that you've just sold that player, is there rules and stipulations where you have to invest certain amount of money maybe into the academy, into the infrastructure of your club? And also, is there also a revenue sharing between the clubs when a player is sold from MLS?
Yeah, no, good question. And once again, the section on that in the rule book is probably like 27 pages. So you get, and it's owner's discretion. So whatever the transfer fee is, you can get X amount. I think it's, and it depends what category. If you're a homegrown, you got to keep all the money. If it's a draft pick, if it's a player that you've signed and paid a transfer fee, that comes off. So you're, you know, what your net money is. I think the highest level is you can get 1.1 million in GAM, as long as the owners want to put that back into the club relative to the transfer fee. And if you're a homegrown player, you get 100% of that. If you're, you know, all those different categories. So it's not a simple answer in terms of that, you know, but there's really valuable ways to add money to sign players. You know, it's club by club. You know, some owners would say $5 million, let's split it. We'll give you 2.5, which you get a pullback certain amount for GAM. We keep 2.5, or they may want to develop infrastructure. Like you said, I think it's very different club to club. And, you know, the expectation is, and this is always a tricky one. If you're going to get the money back, you're going to be more open to moving the player. If you're going to move the player and you get nothing back to help your team, then as a club, it doesn't seem as attractive. No,
keep them.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's not a new thing. That's been going on around the world for a long, long time. But it's a really big part of your planning, your budget, and your your development. It's also the same. And I think this is another place where the league has really grown. And by design, you know, the main reason they added all the U22 initiative players, we want the league to be a league of choice, but also a league of choice for young players. Use Miguel Almirón as the kind of the poster boy. Yeah. You want an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid from wherever. We want him to come to MLS as opposed to going to, you know, the Eredivisie in Holland or one of the Belgian league or one of those kind of second tier leagues. We want them to think of MLS as a better pathway. And obviously we look at that and the kind of the opinion of the league, and that helps it grow. You know, we're developing players and they're going on to bigger clubs. We also use that as revenue generation. So Atlanta United's bought Miguel Almirón for $12 million and sold him for whatever it was, 35. So that's coming back into the club. They can use some of that for roster build. You know, so that is another huge initiative that, as much as you still want these top, you know, the Messis and those big players, I think the league for the long-term kind of growth, I think the youth initiative is more important, you know, and it's something that has changed so much in the last 3 to 5 years that basically everyone's changed their plan in terms of how they build roster, how they manage their budget, and how you have sustained success on the field.
The temptation to sign a DP, great though, right? When you're running a club. And I'm assuming that you have agents constantly on the blower trying to convince you to sign this player. Tim Apuki was an example in Minnesota. A good signing, I think. You know, it made more sense. He wasn't over the hill, still a guy that very much is close to his prime. But how tempting is it down that path? Yeah, you want to develop and get young players. But when you're getting the constant phone calls from agents from overseas saying this guy's available who might not be the right fit.
Yeah, it's a tough balance. You just have to look at, you know, your group and what you need. You know, they structured the DPs and the third DPs and the young DPs and U22 initiatives to, if you only have two DPs, like, you know, your bigger names, you're over 24 years old or whatever it is relative to the young DPs, you now get more U22 initiatives. So if you do less of the big names, the older players, you get more younger spots. So the league's incentivized it. You know, but you still want those top players. It's like 22, 23 years old. That's kind of the point where it's U22 or young DP. You know, does that player have the level? Have they had enough experience scoring goals and playing at a top level? And then what's the price point? Because normally the ones at that age that have done so well and they've got such a bright future and future sell on, they're way more expensive and probably more difficult to get. So it's just finding that balance. To go to Timu Pukki, just in particular. So we had a need, we had an open DP spot and, you know, we needed a goal scorer. We had the second highest XG in the league and we're, you know, creating tons of chances and box entries and all the things. We just didn't have a finisher. So he was someone that we all knew from playing at Norwich in the Premier League and in the Championship. We scouted him heavily and we wanted someone that was really good in the box. His movement was good. He's got a goal scoring record. He's a good guy and he was a really good fit. You can only have two of those. So you have to be really, really specific and, you know, make sure they're fit in terms of your roster. But it's so heavily incentivized to develop younger players.
I was going to ask, I saw over the MLS homepage to the guys before this. And as Amy had said, it's all very messy. And I was just wondering about your, pardon me?
Is there an I at the end of Messi? Or
Yeah. That was the pun. Thank you. But Craig and I were talking last week, and we were talking about that tightrope that Messi, Miami kind of go through with this, how much he's playing, what matches he's playing in, and if there could be a backlash. What do you think? Because I know, look, China was a bust. Sharms and I talked about that. And last year, Chicago, they, you know, with this surge pricing for Messi, it's not always good for the league. It might be good for Messi, but doesn't always look good. So when does he start wearing it? Or when does Miami start wearing it? And or is there, hey, do what you want, make your money, get the fuck out? What do you think?
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting one. And listen, Messi's an outlier. It's just like they changed everything for
Yeah,
Messi,
but he's the league's outlier now, right? Like that's right. They've never had a Messi before. Not like this. They had Beckham, but that was to build the league. This is kind of the league is being using this guy to build even more. A contract with Apple.
Yeah, and we had an interesting take just at our club, you know, our own little thing. I won't say who said it, but you know, we had people at the high ups going, I couldn't care less. Does nothing for us. Yeah, there's league growth. There's all these things. We sell out our stadium every game. He does nothing for us. I couldn't care less. I mean, everyone's caught up with the Messi stuff, but it's like, what side are you on? And what is your opinion? I do know, looking at Messi in terms of the preseason and what they chose to do in terms of the amount of travel, that was ridiculous. And you know, Messi and Suarez and Busquets are going, we're not doing that anymore. Like, We're going to China. We're going to the Middle East. They're just using us. And that is so much travel. And especially when you have an older group of players. I mean, they have five or six players older than 35. So that's load management is going to be probably the most crucial thing for them. I know they left Messi out the other day. I can't remember where they were playing, but they left him out. So they're going to have to manage that. And that preseason was so ridiculous that, you know, the older guys were sitting around going, we're not doing this anymore. Like, I get it. I'm Messi and I got stuff with Adidas. I got stuff with Apple. I'm this huge phenomenon, but you can't use me to that degree, because ultimately they're going to get where they want to go because there's success and they've won something. And, you know, that's their objective. Obviously the league has other objectives. There's money, there's growth, there's Apple TV stuff. But for a player like Messi, he's going, no, I'm not doing that anymore, because, you know, in the end, you're going to get a lesser version of me. And I'll be susceptible to injuries. And let's say he has a big injury. He does, you know, tears a muscle, tears an ACL, something. He's gone for an extended period of time. So, you know, they need to be a part of that process in terms of being concerned that we're not pushing this marketing phenomenon too far. And in the end, he gets injured and then we're all screwed. So, that's the one thing that jumped out for me is that, like you said, that preseason schedule and trying to maximize everything they can. And I think they're fortunate. It seems like there was no major injuries, but you still won't know until they get into the season in terms of the longer term impact in terms of him and his health and his freshness. So we'll see on that one.
One thing about the league, I guess, Wadi, is that it's, you know, you don't have to win it. You know, you need to get into the playoffs. You need to have a good run. You have to be in good form going into the playoffs. And when they left Messi and Suarez, well, Messi out completely. Suarez came on later in the match against Montreal. And then he played in the Champions League Cup, CONCACAF Championship against Nashville. So it seems like they're putting a lot of emphasis on the CONCACAF Championship, primarily because they probably want to be in that 32-team World Cup, the first one. Mm-hmm. And then for sure, the league, you know, we don't necessarily have to win it, but we can kind of play around with Messi, give him some time here and there, and Suarez, and look after their load management during the league, and then take it more seriously down the far end.
No, absolutely, yeah. But that's going to be crucial. You know, Tata's probably got it all planned out. I mean, I'm sure there's pressure from the league to play in certain markets. You know, they're selling these big stadiums in whatever market it is. I'm sure there's some guarantee that he needs to be playing. So I'm assuming they have the whole season mapped out in terms of this is what we'd like to do. Obviously, you can't really account for injuries and that'll change everything. But you have to assume there's a plan and he's playing in these major games. Kind of a similar situation, not on the Messi level, but just kind of the next tier down. I coached in Orlando and we had Kaká, and it was a similar situation. Obviously it wasn't, you know, changing TV deals, but he was obviously a top player, and the league basically said, we want him to play in LA and New York and all these different places. And, you know, we were trying to manage him as a player, and he's a fantastic guy. So we like, hey, listen, let's look at a schedule and we'll try to do this, and you'll play every home game, and then let's look at, you know, the away games, and obviously there's games you have to play in. And he just said, no, I'm not doing it. I want to play in every game. And it wasn't good for him, because he'd get injured after, you know, playing for 6 or 8 weeks, and then he'd need 2 or 3 weeks to kind of get back going. But he was still so competitive and just wanted to play every game. And, you know, we were trying to protect him from himself in terms of, let's be smart about this. You're 35. You're at that age where, you know, with the travel, you can't play every game. You can't play 34 league games, the preseason games, the Open Cup games, the Leagues Cup games, the play, you know, it's just not possible. It's probably up near 60 games. So we had a similar situation with him, obviously not on the Messi level, but it's a tricky one, because there's so many factors, and you've got to factor in the player. And, you know, as much as they understand the big picture, they're really competitive, and they may not want to train, but they certainly want to play games. So that's an interesting dynamic for sure.
What's your next move, Mark? Back in the TD world or coaching? What are you thinking?
Ask Jimmy to move into the basement at Jimmy's house.
Oh, my God. I hope it never gets to that point.
I've already got that.
Forrest. Forrest is moving out next month.
Oh, fuck that, Waddy. I've already got the basement.
Yeah.
You already in?
Put some lotion in the basket.
I mean, food and everything. Mom, more meatloaf.
Don't you hurt Precious.
Yeah. No, so yeah, just you know, looking for the right situation. Yeah, looking for the right situation. It's kind of a funny balance, because the jobs are just so intense, and you know you're traveling. You know, I would travel with the team. I would travel internationally. I think I did 350,000 miles last year. So it's full on. It's phone calls at 5 a.m. It's phone calls at midnight. You know, and your family suffers. So I've taken this time to do a little reassessment, spend some time with the family, travel a little bit, you know, spend a lot of time in terms of kind of re-educating myself in terms of, you know, the club structure. There's so much in terms of the data analytics. The staffs are so big now, so you're getting much more specific roles and responsibilities in the clubs. So I've taken this time to kind of, you know, delve into that a little bit. And just waiting for the right opportunity. So it's, you know, when you move on, it's you know, it's probably moving markets, you know, and there's family considerations. So just trying to, trying to figure it all out and find the best decision moving forward for me professionally and for my family.
One of the things I find quite stunning is that guys that have played in Major League Soccer had a part of that league prior to moving into other positions. Canadian guys have done actually really, really well. You know, Pat Onstad is now involved, yourself, Frank Yallop, women's side of things as well, opportunities in the States. Is it just the fact that there's just way more opportunities in the United States, period? Because in Canada, there just doesn't see those opportunities to grow the game quite like there is in the U.S.
Yeah, it's a good question, Stocks. I think there is. It's a bigger country. There's more teams, and there's, you know, I don't know if there's a hesitance to hire Canadians in Canada. I don't know. Like, obviously, you know, I probably would have preferred to stay in Vancouver my whole life playing and after, even though, you know, the pull of Europe or going to England was pretty significant when we were playing. But I think if you're, you know, in North America, you probably prefer to, you know, work or play where you grew up. I think it's a natural inclination, but yeah, I don't know exactly how, or the reason for it. But yeah, there's a lot of Canadians doing really well in the U.S. I mean, there'll be 30 teams with San Diego. There's 3 Canadian teams. So there's 27. So just by the sheer numbers, there is more opportunity. But I think it's, you know, the guys that are in, you can add Julian de Guzman, who just signed at Red Bulls, which was a great appointment for him. There's a lot of guys down here doing well. You know, they've had good playing careers and have taken it on into management. So it's pretty interesting.
Well, Mark, we're likely going to be firing someone on this show in the very near future. So if you are available,
okay.
There might be a spot here.
Yeah, it's a bit of a stopgap, but whatever.
Yeah. 5-year stopgap. That's what we call it. 5-year stopgap.
Do this for a few months, boys, eh? Something will turn up.
Yeah. Yeah. Saying that for years.
Anything else, fellas, you want to get to before we say farewell?
I just wanted to make one last comment. Usually things happen in threes, so I don't bring Mark back to the worst day as a player where he had a torn ACL and got fired on the same day. What was the third thing? Like, did you have a third thing? Was it you got a flat tire, girlfriend broke up with you? or you found out you had syphilis that day. There had to be something.
Oh man, it was a long time ago, so I don't know. I'm sure something else happened, but I can't think of it right now.
See, syphilis, yeah, your mind, you lose your mind when you got syphilis. I think Waddy's having a bit of trouble with that.
Long-term memory is the first thing to go, right? Yeah. And then the nose.
Too, so the memory's, you know, not great.
Nothing a penicillin won't help.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, Mark, no, really enjoyed this, Mark.
Experience, yeah.
Really enjoyed this. This is great. We'll get you back on for sure. You know, if you are just you know, screaming out to get and talk some football somewhere, just give us a bell. We'll give you a bell. Absolutely. It's really interesting stuff. So thank you so much. Really enjoyed this.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it. Anytime.
Let's thank FuboTV.com/FootyPrime and, of course, TonyBet.ca, our wonderful sponsors. This has been Footy Prime Presents MLS Box to Box with Mark Watson. Till next time, bye.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by FuboTV and by TonyBet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit WeAreFootyPrime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.